In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives. Amen. So the gospel text begins that Jesus came down from the mountain and he stood among the midst of them in the plain. It's an easy detail to kind of overlook very quickly. What we don't realize is that Matthew and Luke have kind of dueling narratives about dueling sermons, like where did Jesus preach his first sermon of his ministry? Matthew has Jesus's first sermon on top of a mountain. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful and the pure at heart and the peacemakers. Right? That's where, those are the Beatitudes. We know those as the Beatitudes. And that sermon, we call the Sermon on the Mount. And we read it every year. And we read it a lot, actually, in the church because we love that sermon. It's a sermon we can relate to. And part of Matthew's skill as a writer and in his literary composition of the book of Matthew is he's trying to show and portray Jesus as the new Moses. And so this sermon happens on top of a mountain, just like Moses went on top of a mountain to the top of Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments from God. And then Moses brought the commandments. These are the words of God that come down to the people. And so when Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he's on top of the mountain. You're imagining him up high speaking down to the people. And you get these wonderful words, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? Luke doesn't tell that story that way. You know, he tells about a different sermon. It could be the same sermon. It could be a different sermon. I imagine that Jesus probably did preach similar sermons over and over for different crowds. I think he had certain sorts of themes. But in Luke's, the sermon happens on a plain, in a flat place. Jesus comes down from the mountain, and he stands in and among the people. He's at their level. And he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who grieve. Blessed are you when people hate you. And then he says, woe to you if you're rich. Woe to you if you're satisfied. Woe to you if you're laughing. Woe to you if people speak well of you. Generally, we don't like that sermon as much as we like the other sermon. We don't read it as often. The last time we read that text for Epiphany was 2007. It's because it falls late, and usually Ash Wednesday happens before this point, and so we never get around to it. Like, we're always doing Ash Wednesday. So Epiphany 6 and Epiphany 7 get short shrift, right, in the tradition. We don't read those texts very often. So we don't have to hear Jesus preaching woe very often. But we get to today. And my question is, what do we do with that? I mean, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's not about being poor. It's not about being really hungry, physically hungry. It's about being spiritually hungry, spiritually poor. We can relate to that. You can live in a big house and drive a nice car and be spiritually poor and be spiritually hungry. The two aren't at odds with each other. But what do we do in Luke? Luke doesn't spiritualize it. He says, blessed are the poor. And he doesn't mean the working poor. There's two different words in Greek. It could be working poor, which is a different Greek word. He means the really poor who are begging on the streets. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who are grieving now. And he says, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are satisfied. Woe to you who are laughing. And like, what do we do with that? Because we're actually not the hungry. We're not the weeping. We're not those suffering people that Jesus is talking about. We actually fall in the second category, generally, most of us. And we don't think of ourselves as, I mean, we're not like those people who live in West Vancouver and, you know, Kitsilano and have a big house in Dunbar or something like that, right? We live in the suburbs, right? We're not at that level, that strata. And we're kidding ourselves, right? Because we're really wealthy. We're relatively wealthy in the scheme of things. And so what do we do? And Jesus says, whoa. I tend to get defensive. Whenever I heard these passages about cursed is, I mean, we had it in the Jeremiah passage too. Cursed is the person who trusts in mortal flesh. But blessed is the person who trusts in God. That was Jeremiah's take. And we have woes. It's been helpful for me. The question for me is, do we hear those things prescriptively or do we hear those things descriptively? And what I mean by that is, Jean read it with the wrath of God in her voice. Cursed be you. Like, she did a great job of reading it. You know, as if God wanted to curse people, which is often how we hear it. As if it was God's desire and God just was so, you know, was kind of a release valve for God because he's so angry and mad at what's going on that he needs to curse people. He curses you when you're bad and he blesses with you with your good, right? Which is, again, about Santa Claus and our Santa Claus theology. But that's proscriptive. It's as if God wants to curse, as if what God is doing is saying, you will be cursed because I will curse you. Or you could also read it descriptively. It's not that God wants to curse you, but it's just a description of the reality of the situation. And Jeremiah uses this metaphor. And in the psalm that we read, the psalm picks it up. It's about a tree that's planted. It's where are you planted? Where are your spiritual roots? Like, if you're planted in the middle of the desert away from water, you're cursed. And it's not that anybody wants you to die. It's just that, like, you're in a tough situation because, you know, your roots, you're going to have a hard time finding what you need to thrive and survive. You're cursed. God loves you as a tree, right? God loves God's good creation. God's like, oh, well, you know, let's send some rain. And then Jeremiah then uses, but blessed is the tree that's planted near water, whose roots are able to go down so that when it's dry and when it's hot, the tree is able to still thrive and survive. It's descriptive. The psalmist uses that same image in the choir saying that hymn, tree planted by the stream. It's the image for where we ground ourselves spiritually. Jeremiah uses it. He's like, what grounds you spiritually? Are you going to trust in human flesh? Mortal flesh? Are you going to trust in yourself? Are you able to do what it takes to feed yourself spiritually? Or are you going to trust in God? And the invitation is to move beyond yourself, to trust into something deeper and more sustaining. To actually open yourself up to the God who is there, to the God who is near, and be fed, and be held, and be nurtured, and be sustained. I think that's what Jesus is getting at in his sermon. When he says, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are satisfied. Woe to you who are laughing. Woe to you when people speak well of you. I don't hear him prescriptively trying to curse. What I hear him saying is, be careful. You're in danger. Pay attention. Because when you're rich, you don't need anything else. When you're full, you feel like you're satisfied, right? When you're laughing, you think life is good and people speak well of you. Like, there's a spiritual danger in that. Because you trust in the things of this world. You get too reliant on the things of this world. You get too reliant on yourself. And you open yourself up to pain, to hurt, to suffering. Being like a shrub that's planted with near far from the water, far from what sustains. I think that's where the blessing comes in. I mean, the poor, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who grieve. There's nothing about their poverty. There's nothing about their hunger. There's nothing about their grief that is actually good. But it's what it does for them. It's how it, what happens for them spiritually in that place. They open themselves up. They open themselves up to each other. They open themselves up to God. They recognize that they're not autonomous, and actually puts them in a position where actually God is there and present. They're aware and present to the nearness of God in their lives. So be careful. There's danger. If you trust too much in yourself and you don't open yourself up to the care of God. Amen.